here tonight. This is our Monday call that we've been actually holding on BBS now for quite some time. And I apologize. Last week we had a lot of technical difficulties, and we had to get off BBS and just do it on the conference line. And I think we've fixed it from last week till now. So thank you for being here. And thank you, everyone on the conference line. God, I can't believe they're so quiet. I can't believe they're live. Are they really live? Are you guys on the conference line there? You want to say hello? Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Daphne, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so the three of us are here. And I want to thank all of you who have been came to our Sunday grid healing yesterday. We got so many emails. And if you're listening tonight and you weren't on our Sunday call, I want to tell you that... Okay, now I'm going to try to unmute them and see if they're there. Make sure. Okay, do we have a conference line here? What we do on these calls is, if you're tracking my work, if you heard me on George Norrie, but what we do on Monday nights is this call actually started as a conference call with perhaps 10 or 20 people on it.
I think Boy needs to take his pants off and needs to be in his underwear.
All right, guys, you can hear my unruly conference call. Now we hear them. And they're not muted. We just sent that around the world. Okay, you guys want to say hello over BBS? You guys on the conference call, you're live on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. I just muted you. For those of you that happened to hear that comment about me in my underwear, I just thought I'd better tell you where that came from. You know, we started doing conference calls, and one time I made the comment that I finally found a job I could come to work with in my underwear, and except for remote viewers. So somebody remembered that and decided to announce it on the air, so you all heard it. That I'll bet some of you are in your underwear. I'm going to, like, see if I can't mute.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. So we started doing this call on a conference line, and then we went on BBS, and we kept doing the conference line. And the reason was, at the time, that I realized that this was not a call like an entertaining type call, but even though it can be really entertaining, it's not like, hi, this is Winfrey, and we're doing this special. You know, it doesn't have that tone to it. This is a call where there's a group energy, and we communicate with beings in other dimensions that say their group energies, and we create a group energy on this call. Now, how do we do that? I don't know. I just say, okay, we have a group energy, and something shifts. And I didn't know that would happen, but it was experimental, and people kept feeling the energy shift. And then we're involved in this process called channeling. So we would ask our sources, I said, could you explain that? And they said, that was us, and they're joining us. So if you're on this call and you're open to it, there's a good chance that something out there is paying attention to you. And they don't violate your free will. So if you want to be private, or you say, I'm checking this out, I'm not sure I want strangers paying attention to me, then they won't. They'll honor the request that you're thinking. And if you start to have them pay attention to you, it's as if that while you're on the phone, you feel an energy coming into your body, sometimes from the top of your head, and sometimes elsewhere. And it's a very friendly energy. It's a very connected energy. It's a peaceful energy. And it's like the premise here is that energy that's coming in is connected to the same source that talks to us, that channels through us. And they explain that they're a group soul. So when they're talking to us, we're not talking to one consciousness. We're talking to a group consciousness. And that's what they say. I believe it's true at this point. But when somebody is checking us out, then it's something that each person has to check us out, read our materials, and see if it's true. And, you know, lately, when Daphne has been doing readings for people, they are telling people, go into our archives and study this, because you can't jump to conclusions and believe it's real because you heard me once on George Norrie or you came to one conference call. It's a very big deal to jump to the idea that we're talking to a group soul that can actually project energy from where they are, where they say it's the beginning of the universe, to where we are. In a way, we can feel them and have a sense of loving connection, because the feeling is always loving, from my perspective. So this is one of those things that you have to watch it for a while. You have to come into the calls. You have to read our materials, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and read other materials that are connected to this, to see if it holds true and if you can validate it for yourself. How do you validate it for yourself? First off, you start feeling energies and you say, I wonder if that's what Wynn's talking about. Second off, things start happening in your life a little differently. Like you suddenly have synchronicities, or your house suddenly sells, or you have some kind of healing, or somebody that was mad at you calls you up and says, I'm not mad at you anymore. Things like that start happening, because what happens is when you make this connection, the connection works upward as well as downward, and you start to get the feeling of how it feels to broadcast who you are into a higher dimension and into a higher hologram. And then when you start doing that, the universe starts responding and things happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Now, the illusion to this, it's an illusion that maybe I'm doing this. Like, I can't tell you how many emails I get every day that says, Wynn, can you tell the Elohim to fix this or to heal this? Or can you tell the Elohim that I need a job? And I wish I could I wish I could do that. I mean, I wish it worked. I'd say, hi, guys, John needs a job, and could you give him a little hand? And that's not the way it works. The way it works is we are being an example on these calls and in our material of how you can expand your energies out of what would normally be the veil, the contraction of Earth. There's a veil around the Earth, and everyone is contracted in it, almost everyone. And you read the newspapers, you watch TV, you're programming yourself to be underneath the auspices of that veil. And then there's negative beings that really want you to be under the auspices of the veil. And you've lived your entire life in that veil, and you've lived probably many past lives in that veil. Now, suddenly, we're telling you that there's this group energy, which you can't validate, okay, that's way beyond the veil, and that we made contact with them. It was like we tuned in our receiver. And that happened when I started writing the book about David Wilcock. And it started happening when I met Daphne. And suddenly, just like you, I'm saying, who is this voice talking to me? And I'm trying to figure out, they can say something, but until I validate it for myself, I really can't believe it. So I kept validating it. If you've read my books, you've read some of the things I went through and the things that happened to help me validate it. So if you're listening to the call, you have to validate this for yourself. You can't just say, Wynn says he's talking to the Elohim. He says they can do miracles. Wynn, tell the Elohim to get me a job. Wynn, it sounds funny, but literally, I get emails like that every day. Tell the Elohim to fix my mother. She's doing this. Tell the Elohim to help my husband love me better. Well, like I said, I wish it worked that way. But it does work. But it works when you pick up their signal and make a connection. Now you're friends with them. I'm only the guy that's introducing you. Then you have to make your own friendship. I am just the liaison, the facilitator, and that we talk to them live, and they explain how it works and how they function. Now, you can understand how easy it would be in past epochs of time to think of a consciousness like this and think of it as God, and because people make a connection, and you don't have to know it's the Elohim. They're an energy, and you know, somebody could know it's not the Elohim. Somebody could know the word Elohim or know the word Rabu, and they've studied it, and they become scholars on it, and they know the theology of it, but they don't have a connection, okay? They just understand it in their minds. And somebody else could just say, please, God, help me. And they said it with the right intent and the right love, and something happens, and they made the connection. Because these sources don't care if you understand that they're a group soul. They don't care what you understand. All they care about, as I get it, in terms of relating to us, is can you make a connection? Can you tune into their frequency? And they tell me they're on the line right now. They're paying attention to everyone on the line. And, you know, did you notice when I said that, how the energy shifted? This is one of the things I started to note, that I would be talking, and as soon as I talked about them and I said how they worked, the energy would shift, and everyone on the line, not everyone, but many of the people on the line would feel that shift. Now, if you're on the line and you didn't feel that shift, it means that either you're still in your head, number one, or you have too much stuff occupying your body, trauma, whatever, that it's not allowing itself to open to feel the energy. Or I should say, the third possibility is that we're a bunch of wackos, and you think we're nuts, and you're watching us and say, when has those people hypnotized? I mean, maybe that's true. I don't think so. But anything's possible. So each of you is in your own scientific experiment. We could, I don't know if scientific is the right word, but experiment. And the only way you can figure this out is to keep attending our calls for a while and see how it impacts you. Because it took me, I mean, quite frankly, it took me 3 years to get it. It took Daphne. I think, Daphne, are you there?
I'm here.
I mean, how long did it take you to figure out that this was real?
Oh, I think I thought it was real from the get-go. I had to determine if it was a good thing, and that took a very long time.
If it was positive, right?
Yes, yes.
Right. And I mean, I say, at the time I was studying David Wilcock initially, there was a lot of stuff in his material and Carla Ruckert's material about how negative sources would imitate positive sources, and I knew that. And so when I was writing the book, the reincarnation book, I couldn't find anything negative in David's channelings. I only found the most immense wisdom in it. And then when Daphne started channeling, and I said, what is this? Is this some negative source trying to get in the way of me writing this book? It didn't feel negative, but it certainly, if you notice, Daphne, when, you know, Daphne and Terry sound quite different when they channel. They both have different natures, and Daphne is very authoritative, and Terry is very soft and vulnerable. And, you know, trying to figure out how come the same source sounded different between these two people, and what's going on? It's like, believe me, put yourself in my position. What's going on? Is this real? Who's talking to me? And I kept testing it and testing it and testing it. I tested it by asking them certain kinds of questions and seeing how they answered. I tested it by watching the impact on people. And I tested it about connecting it, you know, comparing their material with the material that was coming through David Wilcock. So those of you that are listening to these calls have to go through your own process of testing. You cannot believe because I say it's good or I'll pass my test that it should pass your test. And if it's going to pass your test, on some level, something in your life has to shift. Either you have to get happier, you have to have a synchronicity, you have to feel the energy, but something will happen so you say, geez, this seems really good. And then you validated it yourself. You're not just believing it because I said so. And Daphne, why don't you share with people what put you over the edge to finally say, I think this is good, because it's probably been 9 years that Daphne was going through this and was running around the block tearing her hair out about it. So why don't you share it, Daphne?
I'm trying to think if there was a definitive moment. I mean, it's been kind of an unveiling process in the last... I mean, it's been in process for a number of years. In terms of my own personal circumstance, I was in Alaska, in Sitka, Alaska, from 2008 till 2010. And then I had a health crisis, and I ended up going down to St. Petersburg, Florida for the better part of a year.
Can you please get closer to the mic? You're fading out once in a while.
Okay, I'm sorry. Better? Hi.
Yes, great.
Let's see. I'm just trying to think of what exactly triggered it. There has always been a consistency in the work with Lynn and Terry and the dedication of the people in the group, and I think that what happened was I have to give this affair a shake, a fair examination, and so I made a commitment to just show up and to be a participant, best of my ability, 3 days a week, and then we have daily team shift calls that I'm now a part of, and I think it was probably something around critical. And, you know, I don't know if I had a defining eureka moment. But being away from the work and being away from the energy...
Daphne, you're still you're fading in and out. I don't know why that is. You get stronger and then you get weaker.
I've got the phone right up to my mouth. Can you still hear me?
I hear you good now, okay?
So I don't know if there was a defining moment, but there was a very clear demarcation about what was happening for me in my personal experience between having commitment to the work and then being away from it. And it was very clear that this was where energy was where real, genuine connectedness was. And everything else, dead. It felt, I don't know if that makes any sense. I'm getting a very bad reverberation and echo on my phone. Sorry about that.
Now, I know Terry went through an evaluation as well. Not as long as Daphne. And, you know, I'm bringing this up because I'm really encouraging you all to do your evaluation. And, you know, we have the spiritchannel.net where you can go back. You can't go back to 2002. Some of that early stuff is in the book. But you can go to the spiritchannel.net and go back about 4 years, and there are some incredible conversations we were having starting four years ago. And it's all available. Some of it's transcribed, and some of it isn't. Eventually, we'll have everything transcribed, and it will be easy to go through it. You know, we're operating on a shoestring. We've been operating on a shoestring. Daphne?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now you sound good. So
now, when Michael okay. throw out that you're loud enough and good and understandable, but it's not clear your line.
My line is not clear.
Correct.
My line is not clear. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, I just switched to the cell phone microphone. You know, sometimes people, we have the illusion that we're big. I mean, we have a lot of people paying attention to us, but we're not big. We're small. And the only reason we're doing this conference call is because it's free. The only reason we're on BBS is because we were one of the first shows on BBS when they started. And they didn't charge us a lot, and they never raised our rates. So we have to pay, though, for all of these calls. And sometimes people email me and say, Wynn, why don't you just have 800 numbers? If we had 800 numbers, every time we did a call like this, we'd probably get a bill for $1,000 or $500, okay? So those of you that have trouble, and I want to repeat this. I've said it before, but this is important. The area codes that are used for these conference calls, 712 and 559, be sure and call your carrier, even if you have free long distance, to make sure they're not charging you for it, because those particular area codes, some carriers deal with differently. Not all, but some. And if yours, one of the carriers are charging for those calls, be sure and check so you don't get a huge phone bill next month. And if your carrier is one, we recommend that you sign up for Skype. And for $3 a month, you have unlimited calls, United States and Canada, and you can come into our calls all month for $3. And otherwise, we love you being on the call live, but the energy is on the call, on the replays, and on the downloads. So if you go to the spiritchannel.net, it's our archive website, and the download for this call will be available within 24 hours, almost always, and the transcript will be available, and you can access it on that website. So those are the solutions. So, Terry, are you there?
Close to the mic.
Pardon me?
You're a little
I'm close here.
To the mic.
What did you have to go through to figure out that it was positive? What was your process?
Well, my process was to actually do the channeling and get acquainted with them through doing the channeling, and I used to have huge long pauses in my channeling because I would be questioning the data, or what does that word mean, or like they'd be using the word dharma, and I'd be trying to think if that I didn't know what it meant and if that word would fit in the sentence. Or they would say something and I would say, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that person has a daughter, so I don't, I would just wait until they repeated something three times before I said it. Gradually, over time, I got to trust them and I got into more of a communication give and take with them, and then it got easier.
Yeah, thank you. One of the things I learned as I spoke to Daphne and Terry is that when they described how it was when they were channeling, there was this feeling that they're making it up. And Daphne kept saying, I think I'm just making this up. And you want to comment on that feeling, Daphne?
Well, I'll try. let's see. This afternoon I was doing a session with someone, and it was a little bit different than what I've done in the past, in that the energy didn't seem to be right there. I had to wait. And then eventually it did come in, but I remember thinking, I don't know what to say. I don't know the answers. I don't know how to help this person. And then I think into a mode of activity. And I'm starting to trust it more. But it definitely has an aspect of, well, where is this coming from? And it's been a really interesting experience, something I'm getting more comfortable with.
Great. Daphne, you're still going in and out. I don't know what the problem is.
Do you have a headset?
Future. Pardon me?
Does Daphne have a headset?
No, it doesn't. It sounds like it's a phone line going in and out. She's on her cell phone. She's on her cell phone.
Am I in and out now?
I can't tell until you talk longer.
Am I still going out now? I have the phone right up to my ear. Should I change phones?
Well, you have to go ahead and ask. Pardon me, Doug?
Doug was saying that he's still going in and out.
Yeah. Now, we were talking earlier, and there was no problem. And now, well, we're going through a BBS now, and now there's a problem. And yeah.
Call in the light.
I am on a cell phone. I have a landline. Should I call in on a landline?
Well, don't give your landline number. Doug can get you privately, and you can give him your landline number.
Okay.
All right. Daphne, are you on the line?
You
good.
Terry.
I don't hear her. So maybe she'll use her aunt's landline and call back. So over time of communicating with these guys, I started to learn more and more about the process of what was happening. And I realized that they had a consciousness, a lot of individuated consciousnesses coming together as a group, and they could be a group consciousness, and we could be a group consciousness here. Just the fact that we're all listening and they're here, it starts to weave the energies so that all our consciousnesses start to touch each other. And when that happens, it creates like a bridge from where they are to where we are. And then if we create group intentions and therefore the highest good and they honor free will, it allows the whole group to apply itself to that intention. And most people who are metaphysical, even Wayne Dyer wrote a book called The Power of Intention, that intention is one of the most powerful tools that a human has. And when you have two people having the same intention, and this doesn't have to be spiritual, this can be anything. It's like, you know, one guy can be trying to start a company, and he's meeting all these obstacles. And then he gets a partner that he really gets along with, and they both start building the company together. And suddenly, the obstacles go away, because now there's two people working with the same intention. Sometimes a guy is having a really hard time. Oh, no, there's Daphne calling me. Hang on just a second. Men know this. Men understand this. Sometimes they're out there trying to earn a living, and they have a really hard time getting things to happen the way they want them to. And then they get married, and now they have another person that's supporting their intention to make money. And suddenly, the guy does a lot better. He starts getting promotions. Everybody likes him a little better. And the two people, the couple, help increase the level of intention. And it works that way across the board. If you have a lot of people having the same intention, it makes it a lot easier for that to happen. And that works with both the positive and the negative. You can have a bunch of people that have the intention to rob a bank, and they can get along and be good friends and rob a bank and be successful at it. Maybe. We're not recommending that, but just intention is a very, very powerful thing. And group intention is even increases the power of individual intention exponentially. So when we come together as a group and we have these sources that explain their group goals and they come in and we start making intentions, and they're included in our intentions, we then have basically a miracle-making machine, because you have a few hundred people and however many of them that they would add, which can be multi-millions of very powerful sources. And so you can see in the old days, this is the idea of prayer got started, because prayer is just another word to describe group intentions. And Daphne's with us?
I am.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And when you're too close to the mic.
Thank you. So so on our Sunday call, the one we did yesterday, it's all that call is dedicated to creating group intentions for the highest good. It's dedicated for planetary transformation. And many people on that call email me with amazing things that happened to them, the way they felt during the call, this very expanded energy. Now, on this call, on our Monday call, we're not directly focused on that, because this call is more designed to explain to your mind how this works. The energy is still here, but in order for you to participate, they know what you're getting into. Your mind has to understand it. And so our Monday call goes through topics, and even our Wednesday call, where people ask questions, goes through various topics that help you understand this process, because it's very unusual. And for most of you, you've never been exposed to anything like that, and you've been living your life in the veil, in this compression. And there's this illusion that that's all there is and nothing else is possible. And, of course, if you've gone through many, many lifetimes, which we all have, under the influence of this compression in this realm, then you don't have a reference point for anything outside of that. So one of the things these calls are doing is creating a reference point so that you can start to grasp both mentally and intuitively the shifts of energy and explain them to yourselves, to your rational mind, so that you understand it and it's not scary. Because we are all sovereign, and even when we participate in a group energy, we're not glommed together. This is a temporary free will association on these calls. And we move through an experience, and we start to learn not only by the words, but by the energies you feel, how it feels to connect with a group energy, how it feels to be expanded bigger than you are. And the idea is that as you learn that, you start to apply it to your own life. But you don't apply it by your mind. It just happens. Then you find out that you can be in your own life, and you start to hold this energy, and things happen. And that you had intentions, and something happens via synchronicity, and something answers your intention. And then you get the feeling that you're not alone. You feel this slight signal somewhere, and you say, is that them? And then you have to keep testing it and decide if it is or if it isn't. So everyone has their own individual unfoldment. Now, I want to go to the topic of the call, and all of this stuff has been leading up to it, and that is, can our sources stop an earthquake? And we've had many experiences, those of us who have been on the calls for a while, of things that shifted in the physical world that were really unusual, that shouldn't have happened. And we know our planet is in this huge shift right now, and we know that there's all kinds of predictions for things. If you're listening to George Norrie, you having the best of the best of all the predictions of what everyone thinks is going to happen. And when we ask our sources, is this going to happen? They say, they said, we don't want to say something is going to happen because things can change. And they gave me the idea that the more people that are on our calls, the more people that are participating and holding this energy, the more change they were able to do. And that's, if that's true, that's a really important reason to come to our Sunday calls, to check it out. You know, it's 2 hours, it goes really fast, and it's very experiential for a lot of people. So I'm going to ask them today, and Daphne, you're there, right?
I am here, yes.
And okay, you sound good. And Terry, you're there? I'm just making sure.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So we're going to ask to both women, and you guys, I just want to point out how lucky we are to have two people that we can cross-reference things with, because it protects us. It protects us from a negative source. It keeps us all in line to make sure that if somebody goes astray, we're going to figure it out and nail it. Now, I don't think that happens, but that's because we have a group energy, because you're participating in the group energy. We have two extraordinary women who are believing in this work and being here for it. And I'm going to call in, do our little calling in of the light ritual, and I'm going to turn it over to Daphne and get the answer to the question. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, each person listening to our replays, and myself, Daphne, and Terry, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we're going to open it up for a message through Daphne with an explanation of, can you stop an earthquake? And what does it take on our part to stop an earthquake? And also, the same question would extend to many other things that we might like to see transformations on in the physical realm. Thank you.
Give us a moment, please. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We thank you. We thank you for coming, for focusing your heartfelt intention together as a collective. This is the Council of Ra'an. We have been asked to focus, and a question has been posed about intervention, prayerful intercession from your realm to our celestial realms. Intervention and intercession, this is not a new concept. Indeed, throughout your history, people have prayed for many things. In our particular way of understanding and viewing this, when you come together as a collective, it is as filaments of fiber, say, in a rope. One filament by itself is quite weak and will break without much tension being exerted upon it. If there are many filaments, you produce a small cord, more a rope, even more a cable. From our understanding, we see that the collective taken together impart a much more focused intent, a much stronger intent, a laser-like intent, that the prayer of one is amplified. In other words, one is focused, but a group is focused 100 or 1,000 fold. In this way, if a group comes together and asks for the intercession or intervention along the lines of preventing an earthquake, along the lines of preventing nuclear disaster, along the lines of intercession to prevent a war, it is that much more powerful. So the answer to your question is yes, we can and do and have, if it is for the highest good, and if there is sufficient intention from your side. You see, what is paramount is that the law of free will must be followed. There must be sufficient clear intent from your realm orchestrated into our realm for us to be able to intercede and intervene on your behalf. There must be a tipping of the scales, so to speak. There must be an equanimity point, basically more than half. There must be more energy for the intervention to happen than for the intervention not to happen. This is why community is important. This is why shared commitment and focus is important. We hope this has helped in your understanding of your query.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to ask the question, pose the question to Terry. When there is a request, and when there is a group energy, and when there is a decision to do an intercession, and the physics of it, how does that work? In other words, how does it go from your side through the field of energy of the universe, through the unified field, through the oneness? How does it go from your side to create an actual shift in the physical?
Thank you. We delight in such questions, and we taking into account all of the things that we have said through Daphne, we take a look at when all of the energies come together from your side to our side, and when we are participative in the process and we see the energy points of concurrence within your third density as to the desiring of the change, and the change is for the highest good. In this case, a change would be to moderate an earthquake, to take into account in whether this is to be modified or not, all of the requests, all of the prayer requests, which we see as points of light, taking into account all of the consequences and taking into account also the portion of the earth which is under pressure and may be ready to release in an earthquake, taking everything into account. That is one factor. We then have our own toolbox, which we can apply, which is to look at everything from an overview. We are one with all of the factors. We take into account the free will of the earth, the free will of the people, the intentions of the people. We take it all into account. And we take into account our own abilities to change parameters, to change geometries in alignment in new alignment with the factors, all of the factors that are brought to bear on the situation. When we take into account one of the things, the earth, and its necessity to move, and some circumstances, the densification within the area to be considered is so great, and the pressure is so great, that this becomes the overriding factor for what is to result. Taking into account also all of the other factors, we often can enter new geometries into the equation to reroute the pressure to bring it to an area that will do no damage but will still release the pressure. We look at areas such as the recent earthquake in Iran, and we see that there was the earth brought to bear. The earth was ready to move. We see other situations wherein in Southern California, there was an earthquake that was on the edge of happening, and there was a conference call with your group and our group going on at the time, and the call kept dropping out because of the intense electrical changes brought to bear by the electrical movements within the San Andreas Fault. This then kept dropping the call. When it was brought to the attention of the people on the conference line, and when they asked for moderation, then we were able to rewrite some of the potential happenings and to modify the resultant earthquakes, which happened a day later at 6.5 and 6.8 on the Richter scale in the Gulf of California, doing no damage. There are other groups in California that are praying and are asking, that are doing great service, such as some of the individuals who have been on coast to coast. The Law of One places us all within the range of having an effect upon the overall whole. And we take into account the overall prayers, the overall asking, the overall intention of individuals. Sometimes the number of people on the call is not the deciding factor. It is also the intensity with which one or more individuals are asking, and it is their intention that may be worth the similar voices of 10 others, but due to their passion in wishing an equitable, beautiful outcome, their say is more weighed. It has more voice. Does this help to answer some of your questions?
Yes, it does. And thank you so much for your clarification. So our Sunday grid healing is really important then, at least as far as we make a contribution to the group and the power of it. So I just wanted to underline all of you who are listening to make your best attempt to show up for our Sunday morning call, which is emphasizes this particular aspect of the connection with these sources. So, on that note, we should have been cut off by now, and probably, Doug, is maybe there's no other show after us, but I thank you all for coming in and listening and evaluating all of this. And, you know, I said that this is really unusual, what we're doing, and that every person has to come to their own conclusion as to the reality of it. And by listening to these calls, by listening to the consistency of the information, consistency of the point of view, the observation of how it impacts you in your own life and how your own life transforms is the only way to validate it. So we have all of this available for free, 3 days a week and much more. Things you can look at our website, archives you can go through, books, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, you can read, and you can see how it all fits together. And your mind, my mind, needed it, because that's the only way that I brought myself, to the willingness to be doing a call like this, knowing for myself the reality of it, and learning that each of you has to come to that for yourself. So on that note, I'm going to thank everybody for being here. Thank all of you who are making those little purchases we have to support our work. And I thank Daphne and Terry and all the people that are volunteering, that are sending emails out, that are transcribing. And I'm going to open up the conference line. So
all callers are muted.
Wait a second.
All callers are unmuted.
The conference line is open. We can hear you. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
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 Thank you.